Mormon Matters Podcast is a production of the Open Stories Foundation and is seeking to build financial support separate from Mormon Stories Podcast. All donations to Mormon Matters are fully tax deductible and go directly towards keeping the podcast alive and towards building a community of support for Mormons like you. To support the podcast or to join the community, please become a monthly subscriber today at mormonmatters.org.
Hi, Mormon Matters listeners. This is Dan Weatherspoon again, bringing you the fourth in our series today. They'll end up being five. This fourth one is my interview with Natasha Helfer Parker. Natasha's been on the podcast many, many times. Many of you will know her as the blogger or having the blog and the podcast called The Mormon Therapist. She lives in Wichita, Kansas. She talks a lot with families and people struggling, does a lot of faith issues. I know she even will do Skype type therapy and whatnot, but she's a fantastic therapist and has great, great perspectives on things. In the interest of full disclosure, too, Natasha and I, along with John DeLynn, form the triumvirate head of the Open Stories Foundation. We're the board of directors for that. And so both Natasha and I work closely with John, and I don't know that we say anything here that you would need to know that, but it might be important that you guys know that we do have that close working relationship. The Open Stories Foundation is the umbrella that covers Mormon Matters, as well as Mormon Stories Podcast, as well as Natasha's Mormon Therapist, and two more, Gay Mormon Stories and the soon-to-be-revived A Thoughtful Faith podcast. So that's what we do, and it allows you to have tax-deductible donations to any of these podcasts. So yay on that. That's a bonus for those of us that produce those. So on to my interview with Natasha now. Thank you. Natasha Parker, thanks so much for being with me today and getting your adding your perspectives to this day of just kind of framing and slow down and let's think through some broader issues, and process those kinds of things along with our emotions of sadness and heartbreak that I know that we're all feeling. Can I just steer you a little bit to, you're obviously a go-to favorite of mine here at Mormon Matters for lots of things, but you wrote really wonderful blog post and one that apparently has been picked up by the New York Times today about just sort of institutions as organizations. You kind of compared it to family structures and what makes for healthy and unhealthy kinds of things. So from your psychology, your therapist background, would you just lead us wherever you'd like to go with those types of observations?
Well, yeah, thanks, Dan. This concept of differentiation, which is what I write about in this blog, is pretty central to my education as a systems therapist. I mean, it's kind of the first thing we were taught, and it was drilled into us throughout our education. And it's kind of this idea that we all are obviously cultural creatures, and we come from tribes or groups or systems, and so none of us are an island, right? Kind of an idea, and therefore obviously we're going to be influenced by one another, and depending on where you come from, those influences will be having an impact on your idea of yourself and your worldview and all these kinds of different things. And so as groups have been studied throughout kind of psychological science, the sense of, well, groups who can tolerate anxiety around difference tend to do better from a health perspective, not mm-hmm. necessarily a safety perspective, but a health perspective, as far as being successful at having people feel included, having it a safe space to individualize but still stay connected to the group. Whereas groups who don't and who are more rigid in their sense of, this is the way it is and you have to comply and you have to believe and you have to follow the rules as this group says it needs to be, then it can create a sense of security and safety, but it doesn't allow for individual opinion. And oftentimes there's more cutoffs in those types of relationships because either the individual has to comply or in order to try to individuate, there's no tolerance for that. So differentiation is the sense of how can we stay connected even though we don't necessarily see eye to eye. And this is so applicable in pretty much, I would say, any relationship. I mean, marriages, parent-children, groups, you know, businesses, obviously our church. And so I tried to frame it from this sense because I don't necessarily see our church as special or unique from other organizations in the sense that these are still dynamics that we all need to figure out together. And sadly, I think this was an example, you know, what's happened over the last few days is an example of us being less differentiated than I would like to see us.
Yeah. And when you're talking about an institution, we are talking about individuals who lead the institution in this case. And so would you say, I mean, again, it's all speculation and stuff like that. Would you say that it's just a health check on our leaders and where they are with their own spirituality and their own sense of comfort with different ideas? Or is it just simply the many, many messages that are coming to them of, I'm barely hanging on here. I need to know what's true and what's not true and, you know, where the danger is and stuff like that. Do you have any kind of sense on that?
Well, you're right that it's speculation. I think that one of the big themes in Mormonism is protection. And I think that's been a theme from early on, you know, protecting ourselves from the outside world. You know, the outside world was always seen as suspect. And we come from this kind of heritage and culture where the outside world was violent towards us,
right.
You know, and caused real problems for us. And so that's definitely part of, I think, our Mormon DNA in a sense. And so so I think that's part of it. I think it maybe comes from a protective stance, not necessarily for example, of John and Kate, but a protective stance of the other members who might be affected by John and Kate, you know? And
yeah, but are they protecting them or are they hearing from the people down below saying, protect us? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, because there is sort of like, you know, you feel good when you're acting paternalistically. I'm watching out for your welfare. And there's sort of the, you know, the sense that you have of yourself doing that. Sometimes I also sense it's like the real cries of the wounded out there. You know, in this case, a different wounded than the wounded that are feeling the effects of this in our communities. But, you know, the wounded who are just saying, this world is so confusing to me. And why aren't you guys doing something to clarify?
Yeah, and I think that's why I was really careful in my post to mention both the individual and the group, because I think it comes from both directions. I think it is a responsibility of a group to learn how to be differentiated, and I think it's also the responsibility of us as individuals to learn how to be differentiated. And therefore, yes, if you've got, you know, people who are clamoring for clarity, you know, part of that comes from their own anxiety that the group isn't offering that for them. And I think, you know, as we've seen over the last, oh, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years, especially I think during like the Mitt Romney campaign, where we were very much pushing this idea of inclusion and,
right.
You know, I'm a Mormon campaign and you can be different and be part of us. That kind of flew in the face of a lot of the other messages that we have, which is we're a peculiar and unique people. We stand in certain spaces, right? And we need to fit this certain mold in order to fit. So as in most religions and in most groups, there's conflicting principles.
Right.
And that causes, you know, anxiety as people have to work out those issues kind of from a moralistic or ethical viewpoint. So when I have the principle, for example, of obey the prophet, but I also have the principle of, you know, pray and get my own revelation, well, when they go hand in hand, that works out great, right? But when the prophet says something that then I'm praying about and not feeling well about, then that causes that cognitive dissonance we've talked about before, that how can that be? How can the prophet say something that I'm not then
yeah.
getting an answer for, and then is it the prophet? Is it me? Is it God? Right? So, you know,
yeah,
it starts this whole kind of like anxiety climate, you know, where, and that I think is part of spiritual development, is learning how to maneuver those kinds of situations where we are kind of called upon to question our own ethics and values, and but we're not necessarily comfortable doing that. And I don't know that that's a Mormon thing. I think that's a human thing.
Right.
You know, I think that's pretty across the board. But
yeah.
I think that this is a good way to frame what's happening, not to excuse what's happening,
but
to understand, you know, where this comes from.
In your therapy, are there any quick fixes that kind of help people there? Or is this something you just... time and slow exposure to the differences it makes to you know, become more differentiated yourself? You know, I mean, I guess I'm trying to say, if this is the case that this applies to the institution and what's happening here, is there anything from therapy that might be
that's applicable? A good question. I think it's both. I mean, there's definitely some strategies that I try to talk my clients through. And then I also think it's just kind of a longer individual process of growth. But some of the more kind of quick strategies, first of all, is just understanding differentiation.
Yeah, even naming it, right? Yeah,
And understanding that that might be something you might want to work towards. And then I think, you know, I help a lot of couples and family systems learn how to validate and listen correctly. You know, so being able to say things like, okay, so what I hear you saying is... instead of jumping immediately in with your defense. And that, although that sounds simple, it's incredibly difficult to do that, to manage your own anxiety. I also kind of help people tune into their own body process. I'll often ask, okay, so what, you know, I can tell that, you know, this is difficult. So where is it difficult? So is your heart beating? Is your stomach, you know, like feeling kind of yucky? Is your shoulders all tight? You know, so getting to know maybe how your body clues you into the fact that you're not in a differentiated place and feeling anxiety or whatever it is that you're feeling. And then it really does kind of come back to that sense of, you know, are you willing to take responsibility for your own reaction here? Not that the other person isn't responsible as well, but take responsibility for your own stuff and, you know, how are we going to move forward from that point on? So those are some, I guess, quick things that I can offer.
Well, those are all excellent. And again, this is an issue that many people come to this podcast or, you know, they're working on that differentiation themselves. So even if we can't fully see, you know, hey, church, differentiate better thanks to this, what you just said there is very, very important. Is there anything more from your blog post you wanted to share before we move on to other things?
I think my blog post was mainly on this issue of differentiation because I wanted, I mean, obviously it's from the Mormon therapist perspective, and so I wanted to keep it psychological versus more personal. But I do think that I was clear even in my post, although that I'm understanding this dilemma that I don't agree with the actions that have taken place. In regards to John and Kate and even some of the other members, I think there was one or two others that have been made not as prominent in the news yesterday, but they've been subject to these types of proceedings as well.
Yeah, we're hearing about those, aren't we? And yeah, I haven't focused as much there because it's a little bit unclear, and there hasn't, at least in the case of Alan Rock Waterman, it hasn't been an official notification for him. He hasn't been called or summoned, but he's apparently been told that it's in the works or something like that. So, yeah, but so we're focusing on John and Kate, but yet, just in general, I think it applies to all the things. So you got the sadness. We're all feeling subdued. I know that's, you know, I slept like hell last night. And, you know, you start running through scripts in your head of, you know, what might be and all that kind of stuff. Where are you finding comfort? Where are the sources of hope for you? Do you have some at the moment, or are they hard to spot?
Well, let me back up a little bit and I'll get to that. You know, kind of when you're talking about your own reaction, I think I want to talk a little bit about reactions, at least for those on this side of the equation.
Okay.
I think that part of it is definitely sadness, you know, sadness that two of our own are hurting and being, you know, treated in a way that we feel is unfair. So that definitely brings up the emotion of sadness. But I think it's also important to talk about the other emotions, the emotion of fear, you know, that I think that many of us relate to John and Kate very well, and also have put out our own ideas or thoughts or opinions. And therefore, there's this sense of, you know, could this happen to me? And then I think the other emotion is that of loyalty. So, and to me, again, it all goes back to kind of this family metaphor. So if this was happening, if my parents were kind of definitely taking a stance with one of my siblings, I think that this is the reaction I would have. I would be sad. I would be scared. And then I'd have to figure out, so where do I stand? You know, do I stand with mom and dad, or do I stand with my sibling? And if I make either one of those stances, what are the consequences of that? Or do I stay silent and kind of become a wallflower? And so these are different, well, interesting, I think, roles that we play in family systems. And I think we're definitely playing them in a larger sphere here. And I just want to, I guess, give a shout out to each of those emotions that I've identified anyway. And so it's a real, like, even though I love my church leaders and support them and sustain them, the fact that they're treating my siblings in a way that I feel is unfair makes me angry. So there's another emotion, right?
Yeah.
Is anger. And so, you know, those are difficult things to kind of sort out in clean ways. And I think that's probably why most of us are kind of reeling in one way or another. And then even our siblings who are on the other side and who think it's absolutely fair that this is happening. And so they're very justified and feeling like, finally, mom and dad, you know, got it right. And so again, those are family dynamics. And then how am I going to relate with the sibling who thinks mom and dad is right when I think mom and dad is wrong? And how's that going to affect now our relationship? And so this is tough. This is tough stuff. As far as hope... which I think is the original question you asked me.
No, that's great.
I think that, you know, when it comes to hope, for me, it really comes back to the reasons I claim Mormonism to begin with. You know, I think that there's beauty and it's doctrine. I think that there's real room for nuance and growth and metaphor. You know, I mean, Jesus taught in so many amazing parables that can have really interesting meaning depending on where you're coming from in life. And so I find hope in the sense that the overall, I guess, umbrella of Mormonism at its root, as far as the faith and religion, what it means to me, there's many messages of hope there. And the fact that we as people have messed it up along the way is unfortunately a historical fact throughout all of time, not just Mormon time, and getting back. But I think too that even our messes and our errors eventually lead us to interesting redemptions. And I think that we shall see. I mean, not that I want John and Kate to have to suffer in order to offer us interesting redemptions. But
right.
I think that it'll be interesting where we all land 20 to 30 years from now, and how these kinds of instances and happenings start forming our own narratives, and even going back to differentiation, how it starts challenging us in ways that we can grow from an internal viewpoint on spirituality and growth, and, you know, forming our own ideas of what is our truth, which is so much about, I think, what the Mormon message is about. And, you know, I guess it comes back to love, too, you know, the first commandment, like the commandment that trumped all others, you know, according to Jesus, is love one another. And how do we do that in this realm of disagreement and anger and pain? And I mean, it's easy for me to love John and Kate right now.
Right,
very easy.
We know them. I mean, that's one of the things that is such a killer.
I already love them. Yeah, I already love them. But it's very hard to express love for those that I feel are making some grievous errors, and even what I would call spiritually and emotionally violent errors.
Yes. Thank you for naming that. What else, my friend? Anything?
I don't know. I stand by them. I'll stand by you.
I'll stand.
I can break out in song.
Yeah, let's do
it. Although that might be a little scary.
The pretenders there. Yep. Love it. Thank you so much, Natasha. Your blog post was fantastic. I'm glad it's getting some attention. These are just important things. And like I say, you've just named so much that we're going through, and it's going to be really, really helpful. So I appreciate
you. Thank you, Dan, for having me on. As always, I really appreciate your work and your willingness to have me speak my voice.
It's a great voice. Want to give you a big microphone anytime you want. So thanks. Okay. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you for joining us today on Mormon Matters Podcast. To discuss this podcast with others, please check us out at mormonmatters.org. To keep this podcast alive, or to join our support community, please consider a tax-deductible donation today at mormonmatters.org. Music for this podcast was brought to you by Brittany and Clayton Pixton. The Mormon Matters logo was generously provided by StudioCase.com. Thank you for listening.
As well.